All right. Thanks again for joining me. This is Jim Fry. Here to talk to you about some finance stuff. You know, I'd like to help people. I like to educate people. I like to help them get some finances, some loans, some money for their dreams. The dream of owning your own business, the dream of being your own boss, making it happen. Today I'm going to talk about the SBA process in general. A little bit specific, a little bit dry. Sometimes I like to help remind you that it's more about than just money. It's more about just the forms and all that stuff. You know, you got to put some emotion into it, some the why. You got to take some action, all that stuff. That's all good. But here's the dry stuff a little bit. It can be exciting, and if you think about what it's for, it's great. But how does the SBA program work? I want to buy a business. I want to start a business. I want to get a franchise. I want to buy some commercial real estate. What happens? Let's take some quick examples, and I'll try to walk you through this. Try to keep it your mind active, and a lot of this will make sense the more you get into a project. Some of this will all be Greek until you get there. But let me talk. Okay. When can you use an SBA loan, and what are the programs? There's two main programs that you want to consider. The SBA 504 and the SBA 7A programs. I'll talk briefly about the 504, not a lot. I don't use it that much for various reasons, but the SBA 504 is used to finance, usually purchase, sometimes build, once in a while refinance, commercial real estate or equipment. And when I say equipment, usually equipment with a longer life, not really computers, not really furniture, that sort of thing, but you know, the equipment in a factory, in a processing, in a tool and die place, you know, so the stuff that has a longer life, the stuff that's a little bit more expensive typically. The 504 is actually two different loans, an SBA loan from a CDC and a loan from a bank, from a lender. I'll talk about that more, but it's probably only used in those instances. It's rarely used for a startup anymore these days, and there's other reasons, but in general, it's a little bit more expensive. It's a little bit more complicated. There's a third party involved, a little bit more legal costs, and the guarantee is lower. So only part of the loan, roughly 50%, 40% of the loan is kind of covered by an SBA portion, and that part is guaranteed by the SBA. A bank provides the financing, but that's one of the reasons why banks are a little bit less willing to use this. What am I talking about? Let's go over the 7A. I'm going to stick with the 7A program. As I mentioned, the 504 only does plant, equipment, commercial real estate. You can do a few other little working capital things, but not that much. The 7A program, you can put all this stuff under one umbrella, so to speak. You can finance the expenses, the startup costs, legal fees, the working capital. You can buy furniture, fixtures, equipment. Get some marketing costs in there, real estate, goodwill. When you buy a business, you're just buying Joe's business. He doesn't own real estate, for instance, or something. You're buying the business. You're buying Joe's business. What is that? There's nothing tangible there. That's goodwill. So that's where a 7A is good. It's all one SBA loan, and it's guaranteed. Typically, it was guaranteed 75% by the SBA, but right now, at the present time, during this recording, it's guaranteed up to 90% thanks to the government at this time, some temporary changes at least. So, a bank is more willing to do a loan with you because the SBA guarantees it up to 90%. Maybe they won't finance it with a conventional loan because there's more risk. But with an SBA loan, they have a guarantee, so they'll use that loan to get your project done. You can use it to finance commercial real estate, and not investment properties or retail centers. You have to occupy, your business has to occupy 51% or more of that property to buy that commercial real estate. And guess what? They will finance up to 90% of that commercial real estate. If there's a seller note involved, once in a while you can creatively structure it and have a great deal. A business acquisition. You want to buy an existing business? They'll finance 80%, sometimes more, if you structure it correctly with the seller note and down payment. I've seen business acquisitions finance up to 90% with or without real estate. Even if you're buying a business and real estate together, you put it under one umbrella. So the other advantage about using an SBA loan is the term will be longer. Perhaps if you're buying commercial real estate, for instance, with a conventional loan, if you can do it, it's maybe only 15 years long. An SBA loan can go 20, 25 years long. What does that mean? You can have a lower monthly payment. Okay, let's talk about prepayment penalties. There's a declining prepayment penalty in the first 3 years. For instance, year one, you have a 5% prepayment penalty. Year two, 3%. Year three, 1%. So essentially, by year 4 or 5, if you want to prepay it, no problem. It's usually not a problem that in that example. So, all right, what's the process here? You want to buy a business? You want to start a business? Let's talk about starting business. Usually, startups are very hard nowadays. Don't get me wrong. I love startup franchises. I did hundreds of them, literally hundreds of startup loans. But they're going to be tough nowadays. You better have the experience. And it used to be, you used to be able to come out of corporate America, you know, be a marketing guy, a sales guy, and you could get into pretty much any kind of business and argue that, hey, I have some marketing experience, sales experience, or even management experience, I can run this business. That is probably true. But nowadays, if you want to buy a food franchise, you better have some food, restaurant, food service experience. Or you better get a manager and make him a partner somehow, a minority owner, to make the deal happen. That goes for acquisitions as well. If you want to buy into a daycare center or something, you better have the experience, or you better get a director that had experience and put him or her on the ownership for some percentage. So, you want to buy a business. Let's talk about that. Seller notes. Often seller notes might be needed, especially if there is goodwill, especially if there's lots of goodwill. The seller is going to have to carry some of this. I talk about it in another point, but if the seller is going to carry a seller note, I suggest instead of one big note, have multiple small ones. In other words, if there's $100,000 the seller is going to carry, don't have one big $100,000 note. Have maybe four $25,000 notes, or maybe two $50,000. I can explain that another time, but it gives you a lot more flexibility paying it off, buying the notes, selling the notes, and I can share more information with you. What else? Let's talk about the process real quick. Okay, I looked at this business. I want to buy it. I want to buy the real estate. I want to start this business. Okay, if you're buying a business, buying an existing one, you got to get their financials. 3 years. 3 years tax returns. You know, get the most recent year, year to date, I should say, the interim statement, they call it. Within 45 days, get the profit and loss statement and the balance sheet. It can be QuickBooks, it can be an Excel spreadsheet, or it can be from a CPA. Of course, the 3 years tax returns through their CPA or done the filed copies. We have to look to see if they cash flow. SBA is primarily based upon cash flow. What you do is you take the net income and you put in the add back things, they call it. You take net income and you add interest expense, add depreciation, and there's other things depending on the situation that you add back that will improve cash flow. Let's talk real quick. Let's say business has a net income of $5,000. You add back depreciation, say it's $3,000. You get a Now you're up to $8,000 cash flow. You have interest expense of $2,000. You add $2,000 more. That's $10,000 total. 5 plus 3 plus 2 equals $10,000. That's the cash flow. Okay, then figure out what is the SBA loan debt service, what's the annual payment. The easiest example I can tell you is, let's say you have a business that cash flows after the add backs. If it cash flows at $125,000 a year, let's say the debt service or the annual loan payments are $100,000 a year. You take $125,000 divided by 100,000, and you get a ratio of 1.25. Bankers call that a debt service coverage ratio. What that just means is the ratio of debt to your cash flow is 1.25. That is usually the minimum ratio needed for an SBA loan. Typically, they want to see that for 2 years, historically, 2 years running. There are exceptions. Once in a while, they want it higher if it's a riskier situation. Once in a while, they can go lower or only do it 1 year in some cases. But that's a general rule of thumb. Let's talk about collateral. In the old days, you used to be able to start a franchise, buy a business, do an acquisition with little or no collateral. I did deals sometimes with hardly anything there. Nowadays, lenders are a little more cautious, risk averse, whatever. Often, many lenders will want at least 50% collateral. That means if you get a loan for $300,000, somehow there better be collateral somewhere of $150,000 or more. When I say collateral, that could be some equity in your home, maybe it's some equipment, some other real estate, but guess what? The bank or the lender is going to discount it. The equipment has a market value of $100,000, they may discount it 50 or 80%. It depends on the situation, the equipment, all kinds of things. Okay. Lots to learn, lots to think about. Let's take a breather here. Alright, SBA loans are not that hard. They really aren't. It's just a process like anything else. Anyone can do it. Remember, there's people that have been a little bit less motivated, a little bit less smart, a little bit less experienced than you that have done it and been successful. Alright, let's jump back in. Let's say all those things, you qualify. All right, what about you personally? We're going to need a personal financial statement. The lender will eventually run a credit score. Typically, a credit score has to be above 620, 625. The debt load can't be too high, and they're going to look at your 3 years of tax returns, of course, your personal financial statement. How much cash do you have? Now, let's say you're doing a business acquisition, and in this case, you have to do 15 or 20% equity injection, or 15, 20% down payment. You better have that in your account somewhere, and you better have some cash reserves. In other words, let's say it's 20%, just to make it simple. Let's say you put the 20% down. How much money are you going to have left over? Are you draining all of your accounts? Are you going to have any reserves left over? In other words, a lender, and it makes sense, they don't want you to cash out to buy this business or start it or whatever. They want to make sure you have some cushion, some cash reserves left, usually 3 months' expenses as a general rule of thumb. They want to make sure that you have some left in case there's a hiccup, in case there's a problem during the transition period. That's smart. You don't want to leave yourself cash poor. You can put some working capital into the loan. That covers the business expenses, and that's a good thing, but you got to have some cash reserves personally. Okay, they'll look at how much equity you have in a home, if you own a home. Typically, on SBA loans, SBA mandates in most situations that the lender put a lien on the home. So typically, if there's more than 20 or 25% equity in your home, the bank or the lender will put a lien on your home for the SBA loan. Let's say you already have a mortgage in place, then it would be a second position lien. There are a few states where this isn't allowed, and there are a few instances where it's not needed. Can you get an SBA loan without owning a home? Sure, it's a little bit harder, but it can be done. Now, if you're buying a business, they're going to look at how much income do you need. Is there going to be an outside income? Does your spouse work? And if so, does the spouse's income cover your monthly expenses? The credit cards, the mortgage, the car payments, does your spouse's income cover that? Or do you have another outside income? If not, how much money is required to pull out of the business? So that'll affect the cash flow. In other words, if you need to pull $50,000 a year out of the business as a salary to cover your expenses, then they'll have to adjust the cash flow, and it will affect that debt service ratio that I mentioned earlier. If not, there are some lenders who will require that you show that you pull nothing out. There are lenders that require to show you a minimum of $25,000 salary if you're a buyer of a business. That is because valuation reasons. So if you ever want to resell it, that you have to show that there's a minimum of $25,000 salary available for the buyer. And it makes sense, and you should go by that rule of thumb. Even if you don't need outside income, always put in to the equation that you're going to pull $25,000 or more out. Let's continue on. All right, I got all these things. I got the tax returns, the personal financial, my credit's good, I got some cash to inject into it. I got the other documents. What's the process? There's a checklist of things. I've mentioned some of it. Often need the resume, some business history if you're buying the business or your business, if you're buying or expanding something, if you're refinancing something, the tax returns, the interim or year-to-date financials, personal tax returns. Typically, at some point, you'll need copies of bank statements. That's usually later in the game. Typically, later in the game, you'll need some articles of incorporations, bylaws, business licenses, etc., if it applies. Typically, if you're buying something, they'll want to see that you thought about financial projections, like for 3 years. Definitely, for a startup, you need to show projections for 3 years. And that means year one, you go month by month, profit and loss projections. What's going to be like first year, and then year two and three can be year by year. You don't have to break it up month by month. Try to include everything. Be conservative. Don't be pie in the sky stuff. And don't be too conservative, but just be realistic. Definitely for a startup, you need a business plan. There's lots out there on the web. Go to sba.gov for a general format, and there's all kinds of help at the small business development centers at your local university or the SCORE office, S-C-O-R-E. They will help you. Lots of stuff online. For an acquisition, often you'll need a general business plan. It doesn't have to be too detailed in most cases. Is it a franchise? You'll need the UFOC or the FDD franchise agreement. Are you buying something? If so, you need the purchase agreement or the letter of intent. Are there seller notes? You need copies of the seller notes. There's some specialty things. If you're buying a real estate, is there an appraisal available? Don't order one yet. They'll order it later. All right. So we got all these things on this checklist. Remember, a lender can't go ahead until they have most or all of these things, and they won't. It seems like they're stubborn, but because of the SBA, it's pretty strict. You'll need most or all of these things to process a loan. Maybe they'll give you kind of a pre-qualification or give you their general appetite, but they're not going to give you anything binding until they get most or all the needed things from the checklist. So, you got it all. You got all the forms together. You did a good job. It's not that hard. It takes a little patience. You send it to the lender. I used to be a SBA lender at two different banks, and now I am an independent guy. I send it to like five SBA lenders if they want me to. Sometimes I just stick with one that I really like. But the point is, you send it to them. They get the whole packet on their desk. Usually, most lenders, within 7 to 10 days, they'll have a commitment letter. That means it's a binding letter. it'll spell out all the terms. You know, it's a 10-year loan at 6% or whatever it is. Tell you what the collateral and the other information will be, so you'll know what you're getting into. You review that. If you like it, you sign it. Sometimes they ask for a deposit, you know, $1,500, $2,500. That's reasonable. Often, much of it is refundable. You can ask per instance, and you send it back. If you're buying real estate or if real estate's involved, they're going to order an appraisal there. The bank has to order it. You can't order it. And at that point, they'll get the stuff back and say, okay, now we're going to move towards closing. They'll give you another closing checklist. It'll involve some insurance and some other things and some more updated financials perhaps. So if you have an appraisal, you know, that's maybe 3 weeks or so, maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on what it is and where it is. If it's not, then you can still figure from the first application without real estate, from the first application of the full packet, at least probably 30 days for closing. With real estate, probably closer to 45 days. Now, these transactions can take more, and I've seen them take more. Usually why? Because simply something isn't provided. The seller doesn't provide it. The insurance company's giving them a little bit of problem, or the buyer doesn't provide it. I've seen things go on for months and months for one document that someone's being hard-headed about. Again, with the SBA regulations, banks get audited. The bank is not going to risk their billion-dollar relationship with the SBA because one person isn't providing one document that's needed. They will wait until you or the seller or the insurance agent, whoever it is, gets that one document to them before they can close or before they can approve it or whatever. That's one thing a lot of people get frustrated by. Can't you just close without it? I'll get it to you. No, they probably won't. So just get the things, make the checklist, be diligent. It's easier for everybody. It'll be quicker for you. So that's kind of how the process goes. If it's real estate, you'll have a closing just like buying your house. It's with a title company. Or if it's not real estate, often they still use a title company for the transaction or things like that. Money is given at closing. If it's a buyer, the check's made out to the seller. It depends on the situation. But sometimes there can be a drawdown period for up to 6 or 9 months. It almost acts like a line of credit. And then at the end of that period, it will turn out to a permanent loan, and you can't draw anymore on it. So there'll be some different funding methods. Brokers like me, sometimes they get paid by the lender. Lenders pay referral fees, and it's no extra cost to the borrower like yourself. And so they'll get paid a small fee, and that's how they learn earn the living. In a few cases, some banks or lenders don't pay a fee, so maybe they'll give you a fee agreement, and that's how these people earn their living, and their time is worth something. You know, maybe it's an hourly rate, maybe it's a percentage, and a typical percentage might be anywhere from 0.5% to 1% of the loan amount. That's very reasonable, and that's very typical. But in most cases nowadays, the lender still pays the broker, and almost never do the brokers get paid on both sides, from the buyer and the lender. So, this is a quick synopsis. There's a lot of information here, lots to talk about, and each situation is different. Opinions vary. This station is not responsible. Oh, I'm sorry. Started getting into that legalese. There is a little bit of legalese with SBA. I'm having a little bit of fun. You got to keep some fun in. But feel free to call me if you have questions about this or other things. JimFrey@hotmail.com. JimFrey@hotmail.com. Feel free to, you have a question on this or a question on other things, I'll make a podcast, I'll make an article about this or the other thing, and maybe it can help you and help others. Good luck. Go for it, man. It's not that hard. I did it. You can do it.